If you had all of the abilities of Jesus, do you think you could have built a church with more than 120 members? Hello, and welcome to Good Word, a program dedicated to exploring biblical themes. This week, our discussion focuses on evaluating witnessing and evangelism. My name is Paul Dibdahl. I'm joined today by Patty McCoy, chaplain at Walla Walla University. Patty has a master's in youth ministry, so he's both educated as well as a practitioner of ministry. And then Dr. Alex Bryan, senior pastor at the Walla Walla University Church. And all the things I said about Patty would apply to Alex as well, educated and a practitioner of ministry. So, gentlemen, I'm going to hold that initial question for just a bit and ask you instead about the most common ways of determining evangelistic success. If we look at the book of Acts, which is a record, a story of the early church, the earliest followers of Jesus, we find over 30 growth phrases where the text will tell us something like, the number of believers increased, or many were added to the group, or it might even mention people that were baptized, and so on and so forth. What are the most common ways of determining or evaluating evangelistic endeavors? How do we know whether what we did was successful or not?
I think we measure baptisms or men and women who fill out a card or make some specific statement that say that they want to follow Jesus Christ. In churches, we measure attendance, the number of people that are sitting in a pew, or perhaps our membership rolls. You know, we had 600 members last year, and this year we're up to 800 members or whatever. I think those are the common measures that we use.
Numbers. I heard lots of numbers in what you said.
How many? I guess this is more church growth, like maybe in body of Christ terms, but the amount of ministries that have been begun and started, and or mission trips, or you know how many have engaged in the ministry this year. So, but again, numbers. A lot of.
Well, are you comfortable with using these? These ways of measuring success? How do you relate to the numbers kind of stuff?
It depends.
and that's all. I think that, you know, it's what's tough about numbers is that it's really hard to measure transformation. And if you're just looking in one person in particular, you can count, you know, who you baptize. You know, and who goes under the water, but there is so much that happens in that person's journey along the way, before then, after then, you know, that moment. We mark the moment, mm-hmm. But I don't know. Life change and that kind of transformation is something that it's hard to measure. How many people grew closer to Christ this year? Mm-hmm. You know, is there a survey for that? Is there something that you can just put down in paper and measure that.
Mm-hmm. And measurement always implies that you're measuring against something. And of course, in a rural community, one baptism might be far more of a moment than 1,000 baptisms in a big city, for example. So I think that's where the danger of numbers comes, because what am I measuring it against? Mm-hmm. Even if I'm measuring against myself, my own community, how have we done historically? Well, how does one know that 10 years ago there was a certain resistance to the gospel because of culture, and now there might be a tremendous openness? Does that mean that the pastor that happened to be pastoring in the church when there was a season of openness? You know, I know that right after September 11, mm-hmm. When the towers fell, there was a surge that you could chart in church attendance, okay? Now, is that because the preaching got better, the music was sharper, or the pastors were more brilliant in their leadership? Or were people scared because it seemed like the world was coming to an end? Well, I think that if we're honest, we look at that and we see that blip. Mm-hmm. as something that had to do with something tragic that happened in New York City and Washington and a field in Pennsylvania and had nothing or very little to do with what was going on in a church. So for all those reasons and more, I think when you start talking about numbers, Paul, it can become very unhealthy because how do you know that you're using the right numbers?
Mm. Well, and how do you measure, depending on the kind of ministry you're involved in, how can you measure all the different people that were impacted by the ministry or activity that you were involved in? Mm-hmm. You know, say, for example, if you have a ministry of sending out literature, you know, or a message of some kind to a mass group of people, how do you know all of the people that are going to be impacted by that? How do you measure that? That's hard to know. Or if there's somebody that maybe they're not a part of your faith community or they don't end up coming to your faith community, but you pass them on the street one day, mm-hmm. you have an impact in their life, you're part of that seed planting process. Mm-hmm. They go home and God, the one who is the spark for this change, mm-hmm. begins to grow that seed that was planted.
I think of it was a brother and a sister that out of the blue showed up at the church where I was a pastor. This is now a number of years back. I had never seen them before, had no idea why they were there, and I had a chance. I tried to make the chance, but I got to talk with them after the service and introduce myself and ask them what it was that led them to join us for church that day. And they said, a lot of years ago, many years ago, when we were little kids, there was a man, they couldn't even remember his name. There was a man who used to come to our house on the weekends in the morning, and he would pick the two of us up and take us to a church. They said it was for a year or so. Well, they didn't get a chance to see him much other than that, but he brought us to a church, and they said we have not been a part of a church since then. They said their lives had kind of fallen apart as I listened to their story, but they said we felt like God was working on us and that like we ought to go back to church. So what did they do? They did remember the name of the denomination that this man had belonged to, and that's where they came. And I like to think of that elderly man, probably dead at this point, who probably thought, man, all the hassle of hauling those kids off to church. And, you know, it never panned out. It never worked out. There was no success there. And yet here we had a couple of now adults seeking after God and obviously impacted by his simple mm-hmm. ministry. He couldn't count the numbers. But there was something that happened. Mm-hmm. Long story, but for mm-hmm. me, illustrating an important point.
And it's not an uncommon story. It's not, you know, I've heard from lots of friends in ministry that get to a place in their ministry where they're ready to give up because they just don't see the fruits and they don't know that they're making any difference in anyone's life. Mm-hmm. And I've heard repeatedly people that maybe they've written that resignation letter and they're ready to turn it in, and on that day receive an email or a phone call from someone in their past that says, thank you for what you did. Yeah. Something that you did impacted my life way back when, and I just wanted you to know that. And I've had that happen to me, and I've heard it from countless other individuals that have been in that place of giving up, whether they're in full-time ministry or they're a part of something. It's just we don't know all the different ways that our work impacts.
Mm-hmm. Don't be discouraged.
Yeah.
Don't be absolutely. Discouraged. If God has called you to do something for him, do it faithfully. It's only heaven that will reveal the results, the true results of your service. Alex, I thought you were going to
thinking. I imagine we have a couple of kinds of listeners at least. There's probably some that go, wait a minute, we have got to be counting stuff. And there's probably another group that says, let's not count anything. That's just, it ruins. But maybe there's another way that is healthier. And I often go back to 1 Corinthians 3. And Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. Now, I like that because the growth is God's business. So I get out of the business of counting baptisms and successes, if you will, spiritually, because the Holy Spirit's responsible for that. But what human beings can do is what the man did with those young children, Paul, in the story that you told. We can plant seeds, and we can water those seeds. We can invest ourselves in the community. We can share Jesus Christ. We can love people. We ought to count that. We ought to say, am I actually engaged in blessing the world or not? But the results of that, see, that's God's mm-hmm. business. I think that that is a way of saying to those who say, we got to count. We ought to be counting something. Well, yes, we should be. We should be making sure that we're actually ministering in the world. But it takes away the sting of kind of the negative counting that many of us run from, mm-hmm. which is success. And this gets back to the issue of, is all Jesus could Paul?
Yeah.
Is Jesus
if you
only capable of 120 people?
Jesus lives. He ministers. He dies. He's raised to life again. He ascends to heaven. And Acts tells us that with his ascension, there's a group gathered, all the believers together, and it tells us the number even. So here we have a number in the Bible. There were 120 believers. And I've almost stumbled over that before and thought, if I could raise the dead, heal the sick, if I could preach like Jesus preached, couldn't I build? I mean, it seems like I could have tens of thousands, at least, of people that would be following me. Jesus had 120. Was his ministry a success?
But, you know, it goes back to what we talked about a few weeks ago, and that Jesus knew what to say yes to and what to say no to. He poured himself into a few individuals that poured themselves into a few individuals that poured themselves into, and on the church spread like wildfire, because people had others that poured themselves into them and blessed and spoke wisdom and truth and that. And that model is what allowed the lay ministers to spread the good news throughout the first church.
Jesus built something that would last. Its foundations went deep. And he built something that has lasted even to our day. And I think there is an important lesson for us here. Just focusing on numbers is not the only way, and perhaps not even the best way, of measuring our faithfulness to God's commission, and it's perhaps not the best way of measuring our success. Thank you, Patty and Alex, for your willingness to share with us today. Thanks also to Chad Ofterhaar, our program engineer. And I'd like to thank you for listening in. I hope you'll join us again next week. I should also let you know that contact information, as well as some free printed companion materials, are also available online. Simply go to the Walla Walla University website and follow the links to the School of Theology and Good Word. For Good Word, I'm Paul Dibdahl.
You've been listening to Good Word, a production of the School of Theology at Walla Walla University and KGTS-FM. To order a copy of today's broadcast, you can call 509-527-2194. Thanks for listening, and we'll be here next week at this time with Good Word.